Now prepare your hearts and minds as Pastor Eddie brings us a fresh and relevant word from God.
Good morning and Happy New Year. Hold up your Bibles. This is the word of God. I will choose to believe it over my circumstances. I will choose to trust it whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here we are in 2022. Can you believe it? How many of you like are my age? I won't even tell you what that is. But I can go back to like in the 1970s, right? You know what I'm talking about, Charmin? And you're like, like the idea of 2022 is like we're going to be flying in little cars and we get the Jetsons, right? It ain't like that. Here we are, 2022. And I'm excited about the year ahead. As I told you last week, for those of you who were here or those of you who are not here, I talked about the theme of our church for 2022 is the year of ministry. And it's the year that our church, not that we have not reached out before, but that we're going to be super intentional about reaching out to our community, our region, and our world. And we've done that now for 12 years, but we're going to continue that in a more focused effort. And Curtis and Belinda just so happen to come along at a crucial time when I was arguing with God and not wanting to do this. And I said, God, we don't have the people. We don't have the leadership to be able to carry this out and to fulfill this. And then Curtis and Belinda said to me, hey, we believe God's calling us back home, and we're here to stay. Amen. And we want to get plugged back in. And so here they are. And it's really good having him living out front because I need anything. Hey, Curtis, can you go open the door? Because he's right there. So how many of you are going to make a New Year's resolution? Anybody making any you New Year's resolutioners out there? You're going to lose a few? Quit some bad habits, right? Take a little off of here, a little off, you know. How many of you join a gym? No? Nobody? Don't lie. Because this is what happens. I've been a member of gyms now my whole life. And so in January, the gym gets super crowded with all you New Year's resolutioners. But only for 2 weeks, so it's okay. And then after that, you quit. It's really kind of annoying to us regular gym guys, but we'll all do something this year to quit something or start something. Because we'll look back at our life for 2021 and we'll say, man, there's some things that I did or didn't do that I wish I would have or could have, or I'd like to try it again to maybe have a better result. And so you'll start 2022 with that idea. And that you can call them a New Year's resolution or a goal. For you more professional people, you have a goals, you know. Maybe it's a financial goal or something like that. So whatever it is, I have been praying for you as a church to make a spiritual goals and to start the year with some spiritual goals. And so we, every January, I know you hated me to get ready to say this, but every January I ask the church to join us in a fast. And you're like, stay away from me. I don't want to have anything to do with that. And you can fast from a whole lot of things. You can fast from eating, which many of us do. You can fast from TV or social media or anything that's distracting for you or is taking time away from your time with God. And so I want to encourage you that whatever time you spend, maybe it's lunch. Maybe you spend a lot of time, like we do here at church. We spend a lot of time talking about where we're going to eat and what time is lunch. It's always at 11 because I'm starving at 11. And so We you know, it's a lot of planning that goes into lunch, and then you got to get there, and you got to eat, order and eat, and then get back to the office, and it takes, like, you know, a long time. So I would suggest that you take that time and use it more wisely, maybe to focus on your relationship with God. And so as we start the new year, you don't have to look at it as you're losing something, but instead gaining something. So I'm not losing food. I'm gaining a closer relationship with Jesus. Amen? So whatever it is, it doesn't. And I'm going to actually, so what's happening with me, I'm just going to tell you. I'm not going to fast from food for this 21 days completely because I committed back in November to do a bench press competition in January, and later this month. And so I have to eat in order to stay strong. If not, I'd be super weak and it'll be useless to go to a bench press competition. So I'm going to eat. But what is what I'm going to do? I'm going to sacrifice the thing that I like best, and that's sweets. Yeah, I mean, like, they call my name when I walk through the house. Eddie, come on, buddy. I got some cookies in the pantry. I think cookies are from the devil. That's what I've been trying to do. So Kathy Petz every year makes us these special homemade cookies. You know the ones I'm talking about, right? Well, Grace helped Kathy this year, Nana, make the cookies. And so we got our big container of Nana cookies, and I've been eating three a day. I'm limiting myself to three a day, and I'm trying to go through the entire, but I'm the only one eating them. So as you can see, the holidays have been good to me, and I've enjoyed that. So anyway, I'm going to get rid of sweets. So whatever it is that you get rid of, I promise you, if you just focus that time on connecting to Jesus, it will be beneficial to you in a spiritual way. So one time when Jesus was teaching his disciples in Matthew chapter 25 about kingdom living and what it was like to live as part of the kingdom or as a kingdom citizen, I want to teach you some things from Matthew 25. So if you'd go there with me, Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 31. Remember, we're in the year of ministry. So this is what Jesus says. This is red letters, if you have a red letter edition of the Bible. Jesus speaking, he said, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he'll sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you? And the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Here Jesus is giving us a glimpse into what it's like to live as a kingdom-minded citizen. And this passage in Matthew 25 is a great reminder that God is concerned about how we serve his creation. And when we serve his creation, we are in essence serving him. So often I think that we look at serving others and we try to size them up based on their worthiness to be served. Do they deserve it? Will they be thankful? Will they be grateful that I serve them? And so we start to weigh and decide who we're going to serve and who we're not going to serve. And remember, I told you last week, one of our core scriptures is found in Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 to 40. Jesus was asked, which is the greatest commandment? The religious people were trying to trip him up. Teacher, what's the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus says these words, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second one is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. How many of you love your neighbors? Do you love your neighbor? I got to be honest. I struggle loving my neighbors. I know we're on, he's like, we're on TV. I got to be real. I'm just being honest with you, you know. Because sometimes people don't always act lovable. And every one of us, I want you to get your head around this, every one of us was created for a purpose with purpose. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, Paul wrote these words, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So before you were ever a blip on the radar screen, God had a plan and a purpose for your life. And it is, by the way, so much bigger than you ever dreamed or imagined it could be. How many of you are beginning to live your God purpose? And you got, as you begin to walk in it, you see it unfold before you, go, wow, I had no idea. I'm living that every day, because 20 plus years ago, I was lost. Right, Pete? Pete knows. Now, I want you to understand, now we don't do good works to be right with God. We do good works because we are right with God. So you got to make sure you're doing them for the right reason, right? I'm not doing this so God goes, good job, Pastor Eddie. You're such a good little disciple. No, I do it because I know I'm right with God and I want to please him, right? So we know in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, Paul wrote, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So we can't brag about our, look what I did to get saved. Look what I did to get right with God. There's nothing you can do to get right with God. You're right with God because God is good. Amen? Amen. So we have to understand, we don't serve God to be found right. We serve God because we are right. And by serving him, we serve his creation. But sometimes when we start thinking about the idea of serving and ministering to God's people, we start to ask, well, who am I supposed to serve? What does that look like? So I'm going to answer that question this morning with three simple things, three filters, if you will, that will help us decide who we're going to serve. The first one is this. How do we know who to serve? The first one is we have to stay connected to Jesus, right? If you don't stay connected to Jesus, you'll never know who to serve, because he will certainly direct you to whom you're to serve. Look what Jesus said in John 17, verse 20. Now, Jesus is praying in John 17, and this is what he said. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. Look at the next verse, 23. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you've sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Now, imagine, Jesus is having a conversation. The Son is having a conversation with the Father, and he's saying, I'm praying for the people that you've sent me to redeem, and I'm praying that they may be one as we're one. I want them to be in me and me in you and all of us together doing this just beautiful thing together for God on the earth, right? So the prayer he prays is this beautiful sentiment of the heart of God, because God wants us to be in love with him, and he wants us to be in love with each other as we're serving him and we're serving others. And we can have the same connection that Jesus had with the Father, because Jesus paved the way for us to have their connection, right? So as Jesus and the Father are one, you and I can be one with him too. And Jesus makes this statement in John 17, 23. I just read to you a moment ago. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Listen, the evidence of Jesus in is not just with us. We don't just bring Jesus with us when we show up. We bring Jesus in us. The evidence of Jesus should be manifested and reflected in the way that we deal with people. Amen. Is that a conviction or what? Like, okay. The only way that you and I will ever have a desire to serve God the way he wants us to serve him is to stay connected to the heart of God. Because when you begin to look at people through earthly eyes, through fleshly eyes, you're never going to deem them worthy of your service. But when you look at them through the eyes of Jesus, you begin to love like he loves. You begin to want to give like he gives and to do what he does. And remember, Jesus had his 12 disciples, and he sat with them at a dinner on his final night before he was crucified. And at that table was one man who would ultimately betray him. And he said, we'll never betray you. We'll never betray you. And he said, the one that has dipped his hand in the bowl with me. In other words, Judas was so close to him that he could touch him. And yet He knew that he was going to be betrayed by the ones closest to him. I want you to understand that we're never going to serve the people if we look at them through the eyes of flesh. We have to stay connected to Jesus. How do you stay connected to Jesus? Well, the first way is through prayer. And I want to encourage you as we start a new year to begin, if you don't have already, a regular prayer life or a regular time of prayer in your day, to set aside a moment or some moments in your day where you connect with God in prayer. I had a guy, I preached this one time many years ago, and a guy called me the next day. I don't know how to do that. I said, you're talking to me on the phone, just talk to him. And listen, prayer's not some ritual where you gotta stand a certain way or you gotta bow a certain, you know, it's a conversation between two friends, right? And so I go to Jesus just like I'm talking to you. Hey, Father, what's up? You know, I just need to let you know what's on my heart, like you don't already know, you know. And we just converse, we just conversate every day, because I know that without him in my life and active and moving in my life, that I'll never be doing what I'm supposed to be doing, right? So we do it by prayer. And tonight, if you want to kick the year off right, tonight at 5:30, we have our first response prayer night. So people ask me, what is first response prayer? What does that mean? It just means it's the first response, not the last resort. And we do it the first Sunday of every month at 5:30 p.m. We're here an hour and 15 minutes. We're not going to take up your whole evening. We just come in here and we get busy praying for the needs of our congregation, the people who are here in our country and world and so on, right? So if you want to be a part of that, come on, 5:30 tonight. Great way to start. The next way is, I mentioned a moment ago, fasting. And again, let me say it again. Important for you to refocus. You'll go join a gym, spend $50 a month, $100 a month, or whatever to join a gym that you're not going to use, but we can't take some time to skip a meal, right? Come on, let's be real. You can do it. I promise you, you can do it. I've gone the 21 days without eating at all. And if I can do it, anybody can do it. Trust what I'm telling you, because it's not me doing it. It's the Holy Spirit in me empowering me to do it. And when you commit yourself to God that way, he'll empower you to do whatever you commit to. And then the last one is staying in the Word. If you want to be connected to Jesus, where's the best place to connect to Jesus? In his Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If we want to connect to Jesus on an intimate level, you want to know what God's thinking? Open your Bible every day. You should be reading the Bible every day without fail. For just the purpose of reading. Take that 15 minutes while you're in the bathroom. Or whenever, I'm serious. Whenever it is that you have 10, 15 minutes that you can, uninterrupted, you can open the Word and get into it and read it every day. It'll set the tone for your day. Trust what I'm telling you. All right? And if you don't know where to begin to serve, if you say, well, I just don't know where to begin to serve, you can start right here at New Beginnings. You can start serving God's people right here, and then we can help you as Curtis and Peggy begin to collaborate and talk about where we can serve in our community. You can start right here. See how you like serving this. You know, we start teaching the concept of service to your kids at like the age of 5. And as kids grow up and as they get older, we let the older kids serve the younger kids. Under supervision of adults, of course, but we do that to teach them that we're all called to serve. I want you to do me a favor, as I do all the time, point to the minister in the room. Yeah, you are the ministers in the room. And so remember, don't everybody wants to point to me. Well, you're the pastor, you do all the spiritual stuff. No, we are the pastors. I'm the pastor, but you're the ministers, all right? Let's get that straight. If you want to know how to serve or who to serve, stay connected to Jesus. And then, of course, lastly, as part of that, is we must be in unity together. There's a commanded blessing in Psalm 133 over the brothers and sisters who dwell together in unity. Now, let me just say, there's some misconceptions about what unity is and what unity is not. Unity doesn't mean we agree 100% of the time. And many times people think because we don't always agree, we can't be in relationship. Let me just ask a question. How many of you are married in the room? Do you always agree with your wife or your husband? Not even close. Not even close. Why? Because the guys, they're weird, right? Sorry, ladies. I mean, you're just wired differently, you know? And so, but we're wired differently too, and you probably think we're weird, and that's okay. And listen, because we don't always agree, but we choose to remain in relationship, right? So listen, it's same thing goes for God's people. Just because we don't agree 100% of the time on 100% of the things does not mean we can't do life together. So the idea of taking your ball and going home, that don't roll up in here. Right? We're not playing that game in here. What we're going to do in here is we're going to choose to do life together in spite of our differences. How about that? We're going to live life in unity. Why? There's a commanded blessing over the brothers and sisters. The church, your families, your households, when you decide to live with other people in unity. We got to keep Jesus at the forefront. Keep Jesus at the forefront. Be unified with his people and serve whoever he brings, right? Number two, who do we serve? Well, here's how we do it. We make serving Jesus our priority. So instead of thinking about serving that person or those people, how about we do it as serving unto God? I'm doing this unto Jesus. In Matthew 25:40, he said, the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, look what he said, you did for me. What he's saying is, when you served my people, you served me. Every time that you come to serve at New Beginnings, by the way, if you're a volunteer at New Beginnings, we applaud you. Give them a hand. We appreciate your service. And we can't do what we do without it. So we appreciate that. And we thank you. And every time you do it, you're doing it unto God, right? Now, if you're going to serve Jesus wholeheartedly, then you have to quit focusing on those you're serving. Because let's be honest, they're not always going to be super grateful or thankful. They're not always going to tell you thank you. They're not always going to say the right thing. They may not even recognize you or appreciate what you did. Should that stop us from serving? I'm going to tell you, this year at New Beginnings, we will serve a lot of people that will never tell us they appreciate us. That's not why we're doing it. We're doing it because God said this is what we're to do. Amen. Whoever that was. Now, Colossians 3:23-24. This is, again, reaffirming just what I told you. Look what he said in Colossians 3:23. Paul said, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for human masters. Since you know that you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it's the Lord Christ you're serving. So when we serve people, we are serving God. And there is a reward for those of us who decide to serve God. Amen? Amen. We focus on the people. We can become judgmental. We can be judgmental about their worthiness. Look, I've been dealing with this. I don't know if you notice. There's a lot of people panhandling on the streets these days, right? A lot of conversations that people have had with me and with others. Well, are they, you know, 500 feet away, there's a sign at Wendy's there's a signing bonus. And this, I had a friend stop a week ago. It was a gentleman and his family sitting back here on Falconer Drive. And he's, asking for money. And my friend stopped and said, hey, I can't give you money, but I can give you a job right now. No, thank you. You know, so do we not serve because they don't want to do what we want them to do? I'll tell you what happened to me. So a couple of Christmases ago, there's a gentleman was parked on 190 in an older car, and he had a sign, you know, traveling to Florida, I think it was, and we're broken down, and we need some money. And the Lord just touched me and said, go back and give him some money. So I think I had a $20 bill in my wallet. And I went back and said, man, here, I'm so sorry. What's going on? We're traveling through, and the car broke down. And so here's, I got $20. I'm so sorry. So when do you expect to be out of here? Hopefully by tomorrow or the next day. A week later, they're still there. A week after that, still there. He must have saw this as a really good place to make money. I don't know. But you know what? It wasn't up to me to judge. The Lord told me to stop and give him money. I gave him money. What he does with it is up to him, right? So if the Lord tells you to stop and give one of these panhandlers money, just do it. What they do with it is not your business. Not up to you, right? People will always let you down, but God rewards us as we serve him and his people. And remember, the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 12, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, think about this, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Think about that word, living sacrifice. Not a dead sacrifice. So our lives should reflect sacrificial behavior in everything that we say and do. If we say we love Jesus and we want to serve Jesus, then does my life reflect that kind of action or attitude, right? Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. And this is what he says, holy and pleasing to God. This is what he said. This is your true and proper worship or your spiritual act of worship. So in other words, when you serve people wholeheartedly or when you serve sacrificially, you are worshiping Jesus. See, we think worship just happens when we sing. That's one form of worship, but worship happens every time we serve God in whatever way we serve him. We have to live our lives as a living sacrifice. Make serving Jesus your priority. Number three, and last but not least, be willing to serve, here it is, whoever. Say whoever.
Whoever.
Does that mean anybody? Whoever God brings. Look what he said in Matthew 25:40 again. Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. It would be nice to pick and choose who we can serve. I feel really good about serving these people, but don't like serving those. It'd be really nice if we could do that and still feel good about ourselves, but I want you to understand we don't get to decide. As a matter of fact, I think sometimes we have to go against the grain or become even countercultural in our service to society. Let me use a story to help you with this. If you have your Bible, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 9. Now, I'm going to set this up for you. David, King David, has just taken the throne. Now, remember, he was anointed king of Israel as a young boy, and then he runs from King Saul for years and years and years, and he finally takes the throne. And this is his first order of business as he takes the throne. 2 Samuel 9:1. David asked, this is him now in his position of power, is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? Now, Jonathan, remember, was King Saul's son whom he and David were very close. They were like best friends. Now, there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. And they summoned him to appear before David. And the king said to him, are you Ziba? At your service, he replied. And the king asked, is there anyone still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness? And Ziba answered the king, there is still a son of Jonathan. He is lame in both feet. Make note of that. Very important. I'll talk about that in a moment. Where is he? The king asked. Ziba answered, he's at the house of Machir, son of Amiel, in Lodabar. So King David had him brought from Lodabar, from the house of Machir, son of Amiel. When Mephibosheth, how'd you like to have that name? Son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. And David said, Mephibosheth, at your service, he replied. Don't be afraid. David said to him, for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather, Saul, and you will always eat at my table. This story is a story of the least of these, the undeserving, those who could do nothing in return for the giver. It was customary when a new king took office, when a new king was anointed and took the throne, that he would kill, purposefully destroy all who belonged to the former king's family in fear that one of them may try to rise up and take the throne back. And instead of David doing what was customary at the time and to do what every other king had done, he does something that is completely countercultural. He says, is there anyone still left from the former king's family that I may show kindness to? Very unusual question. David had a very strong bond with the former king's son, Jonathan, and David took his throne. And his desire, instead of killing all who was left, was to show kindness. Now, I want you to understand something really important about the boy Mephibosheth. He was lame in both feet. Do you know that this is back in the time of King David, there was no ADA, the American Disabilities Act. And as a matter of fact, the people who were disabled were looked upon as second-class citizens. They were rejected by their own families. They were put out in the streets to beg. No one wanted them around because they could do nothing for anybody, and they had to be taken care of instead of helping take care of others. And David not only takes this outcast and shows kindness to him, but he takes him from a place called Lodabar. Now, Lodabar means a pastureless place, a place of desolation, a place that was not fertile. It was a dead place, and he brings him to a place of life. I want you to know, when we set out to serve those, the least of these, many times we will take them from pastureless places and bring them to a place of life. Listen, I want you to know, I believe that as the church today in 2022, that we must be about showing life to the people that we come in contact with. King David didn't stop there. He assigned Mephibosheth's nurse, Ziba, to not only take care of Mephibosheth and make sure he was well taken care of, but also Ziba's family would take care of the land that David returned to Mephibosheth, and they would farm the land, and he got to keep all the money. And he got to eat at the king's table every day. That's a pretty good deal. Did he deserve it? Not really. Matter of fact, according to custom tradition, he should have been killed. But David doesn't kill him. David doesn't even leave him in the pastureless place, but he brings him to the place of life. And I want you to know, God is telling us today, will you be that person? Will you be the disciple that will reach out to the least of these? I'm going to tell you, it's hard. Because I'm going to tell you, ministry is messy. There may be somebody even in your own family that God's asking you to minister to. And you're like, God, not them. Sometimes we'd rather minister to people we don't know because there's no attachment. And God says, no, we got to start right here. We got to start right here in our own families and then begin to reach out into the community and into the region and then into the world, right? We don't want to go into the world before we start right here. What good is it if we reach out to the world around us, but right here, our own family's perishing and going to hell, and our own family doesn't know the love and kindness of God, and right here, what good are we, right? David provided, and we are to be like David and provide. I want you to grab hold of this fact. Many people we minister to in 2022 will be able to do nothing for us. Kind of like Mephibosheth. They may never show up at a church service. That's okay. They may never do anything at all to ever be able to repay us in any way. They may never even say thank you. But it's okay. Because God knows what we've done, and he knows what we're doing for his people. And at the end of the day, that has to be okay with you. You know what? It's okay with me. I'd rather people get, you know, do something nice and they come to church, be great. That's not the way it works all the time. So these people are referred to as the least of these. So how do we know who to serve? We got to stay connected to Jesus. Remember, stay connected to Jesus. You do that by praying. Do that by fasting. And you do that by staying in the Word every day. Make serving Jesus your priority. As you think about serving somebody, think about, I'm doing this unto God, not for necessarily for them. They're going to benefit, but I'm doing it for God. And then finally, be willing to serve whoever he brings. And I want to tell you this. If you don't know who to serve, just ask Jesus, God, give me somebody to serve. It won't be long before somebody crosses your path. I told you last year, God, who am I supposed to, when we were talking about the reach one, God, who am I supposed to reach? I promise you it wouldn't be long before those people cross your path. I had more conversations with people saying, I'm praying for my boss. I'm praying for my neighbor. I'm praying for my cousin. I'm praying for this to come to know Jesus. Amen? Would you stand with me? Now, I want you to think about this, and you may have never even noticed this. How many of you know what's written above our doors as you exit the building? Anybody know? All right, so like three of y'all. That's right. You are now entering the mission field. Remember, this is not the mission field. This is the fuel house. This is where we come get gassed up to go out and do what God's called us to do. Every time we walk out these doors, we're being missionaries to the world around us, starting right here in Covington. If you're ready to make that commitment today, to be the hands and feet, the literal hands and feet of Jesus to the world around you, I want you to come and join me here at the altar. And I want to pray for you, for God to fill you and for God to anoint you, give you the words to speak even. So here's our resolution. Our resolution is not to lose weight, gain weight, quit bad habits. Our resolution is to just be God's hands and feet, right? So see, you don't even need to lose weight. I just freed you. So my pastor said I didn't have to lose weight. I look fine just like I am. You are, because God made you just like you are. Amen. Father, in the name that is above every name, I thank you for the people of New Beginnings Church, God, willing to be your hands and feet. And God, I pray for a move of God in this parish, unlike we've never seen before. God, that we may serve you as we serve the people of St. Tammany Parish, our region and our world. God, let them know that you care. So much so that you sent us to be love to them. We love you. We give you all the praise and glory because you're worthy. We ask you to bless us as we prepare to go and be your hands and feet in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. Remember, back to two services next week.